They signed Taylor Mays, who could play safety and linebacker. He was in a whole bunch of stunts when he played for Mike Zimmer in Cincinnati. He's played linebacker before, but he's a safety.
And that's fine. And I'll tell you what makes that doubly fine with me is that's a Zimmer guy. Zimmer wouldn't have his ass in here if he wasn't a player. Mm. He would not have him in here.
I mean,
there's no way that kid could come in here, having played for him, and Terrence Newman as well, is that Mike knows him, and he is not going to bring in a slappy.
I know Mason Foster, I believe, is still out there. He's young, 25 years old. He's a three-down linebacker, played for Tampa Bay, just didn't fit in their cover two system, which is a crap defense, in my opinion, so glad it's not here anymore. Brandon Spikes, I know he's only a two-down linebacker. He's still available.
He's a horse.
And so if you're going to get a guy out there that is a veteran and just a two-down guy, I mean, I could go ahead and get Brandon Spikes for Pete's sakes.
I'll tell you what, he's a run stopper.
I mean, even if you get a guy like Brandon Spikes, who's only a two-down middle linebacker, and you go out and draft an Eric Kendricks, I mean, it never hurts to have as many bullets as you can possibly have in the gun.
I don't disagree with that at all. Hodges, they've ranked him really high in some of the different ways of rating linebackers. Mm-hmm. Now, so they ranked him like ninth.
Ninth best.
Linebacker. He's on our team right now. Yeah.
Anthony Barr, eighth best linebacker last year in the NFL. Gerald Hodges, ninth. And where do they have Chad Greenway? I want to say like 32nd or something like that.
That's just funny. That is just almost funny. Mm. How? I mean, Hodges started how many games? He did a really good job. That one interception that he had against Miami or whoever it was against, it was a hell of a pickoff, and he scored with it too. He turned around, tipped it, caught it, housed it.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. But you need a middle guy. You need a rock in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I think the Minnesota Vikings will regret this offseason, because I regret it for him, is Mike Wallace. I like the trade. Got him for a fifth-round draft pick. I understand that. But in the meantime, he had to cut Greg Jennings. And it's not that I'm sad that Greg Jennings is gone. I thought he was a nice person. He was good for the community.
Good player.
He said he's a great player. Solid hands. Good mentor for Teddy Bridgewater. But you cut him, and you had to have a $6 million cap hit in the process. So Mike Wallace, his cap hit basically with his money and then adding on Greg Jennings' money is $15.9 million cap hit this year.
That's a big risk. It's a big chance. 15.9. I know it. Look, the jury's still out on that call. I mean, I think it's a good move. I really think we're going to like him. If we can keep him healthy and Bridgewater has a guy now to extend the field with, I mean, I really think this guy could be the X factor.
This is a guy that can take tops off of defense. He can be everything that they hope Troy Williamson wasn't. He can run deep, he can run fast, but he can actually catch the ball, which is fantastic.
He's got good hands.
But at the same time, he's a pain in the ass in Miami.
The jury's still out on what sort of baggage he's bringing in here, because apparently he's walked off the field once or twice, once in Pittsburgh. The Pouncey boys were, excuse me, a little bit on his case, too. And I don't know. He came on the show, Mike Wallace did, with us.
And he was great with us.
And he was great. And he tried to explain himself with I'm sorry about my voice right now.
Are you
I'm dying right now.
Oh, okay, good.
I think I'm
not good. I mean, bummer.
Hey, so, but the Pounceys were talking about him, and they it seemed to me like they were really pretty pissed at the way Wallace acts and takes things upon himself to remove himself from games.
That's the last thing we need with these
Wallace
young guys.
Wallace said that whatever was said, or however it was said, was taken completely out of context, and that he's still boys with the two Pouncey brothers. And they are great players, both of them offensive centers. But I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. Like when Jeff George came here, everyone was waiting for that Jeff George that we saw lighting up on the sidelines over here and being mouthy with someone over here and bad with the reporter in the locker room and starting fights with reporters. That guy never showed up. He tried to pop off once and Denny shouted at him. I've never seen anything like that one.
That's funny.
But I don't know. So I have to watch Mike Wallace a little bit. He was really good with us.
I don't know.
I was glad to get him on.
Oh, it was awesome to get him on. And I think he's extremely talented. The only thing is I'm worried because the Minnesota Vikings, Rick Spielman, went after him when we ended up signing Greg Jennings in the first place, throw a buttload of money at him. I want to say he took less money to go to Miami because he wanted to play someplace where there were palm trees and not trees with no leaves.
Right.
The walking off the field deal, not being a teammate deal. We asked him three or four questions, and he answered them perfectly about his character. And he's going to have to answer those questions to fans and to the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm sure that's why Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman were on the phone with him 1 hour before they actually made the trade with Miami to say, hey, here's the deal. We're going to be investing a lot of money in this situation.
Yeah.
Will you even come here and play? And that's, I mean, with Cordero Patterson, who obviously is extremely, not vulnerable, but what do you call it? He's a young guy.
He's easily influenced. He's easily influenced, and that could be with a good player or a bad player. Whoever gets a hold of him, he's kind of a chameleon. He kind of mixes in with
worries me
everything. Well,
Teddy Bridgewater, too. I mean, he said they're just good young kids that are growing to be. I just don't want anybody to wreck what the continued growth that Mike Zimmer and Spielman are putting
totally
together
agree.
Down there at Winter Park.
What I really want to see is the speed of Mike Wallace. And I want Teddy to shut everybody up who said he can't throw the deep ball accurately. I want to see Mike Wallace down the field. I want to see that first launch. And people are going to shut up. And they're going to say, oh, he can throw. He can throw a deep football. Because he can. He can.
You just need somebody to be able to catch it. That's the problem.
And get out there and beat a defense. And go run out there and not just be, you know, going up 50-50 for a jump ball. I'm talking about leaving people behind and running out there and getting one full stride. Anyway. I've said enough. I'm excited about Wallace, but I there's a part of me, don't know. Do we have to call Jim Rich?
Yeah, we get to call Jim Rich. We don't have to. We get to. It's the best part
of
the day.
Well, he's not going
to
be able to again because he's on TV right now.
What the hell is he doing?
Look at that tie. You want to talk about a bad tie and a pencil neck.
Just between you and I.
You got a neck like a stack of dimes, but great hair.
Oh,
really, really nice hair.
Unbelievable hair. But just between you and I. He's not the best dresser.
No, he does not dress. I swear to God. I mean, I think Bozo the Clown dresses him before he comes to work. Look at him.
Seriously.
Now, he's saying something really good.
He's talking about the wild.
But the tie
cares about.
Is sort of a mauve.
And with the,
and
like a
with
blue
a green
shirt
sport coat. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask
we'll
him about that.
Yeah, we'll talk to him about
it's like
that.
Like a peach-colored, coral-colored tie. Yuck.
Fashionistas, the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Wilson right
here. The fashion police. Come on back.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McCurry's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
Night racing in the Lone Star State. The Duck Commander 500. Live from Texas Motor Speedway. Saturday at 5:30 p.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You need serious professional help.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible too.
Because people like to say salsa.
That was just a great pass by Stewie. I just wanted to come out and play a simple game tonight. I thought overall it wasn't one of my better games, but you know, it was good to get back into it and get a few puck touches. I have to give Nico and Stewie a lot of credit. They really helped me out tonight. The one end of the boards hurt a little bit, but you know, all of it felt pretty good. You know, clinching a playoff spot too is awesome. And like I said before, I just wanted to get out there and help the team any way possible.
The voice of Jason Zucker on his return to the ice. Last night in Chicago against the Blackhawks. 2-1 victory. We're in.
He's the guy, Jim Rich. Don't you think that is going to provide the little oomph that the Wild need? The way and the energy and the, I don't know, just that, all I can say is that extra oomph. He was 9 screws in his clavicle after snapping his clavicle in half a plate in there. Came back, took some hits into the board, scored the game-winning goal. It was fun to see Jason Zucker back out there on the ice yesterday. And a big reason why I think the Wild beat the Chicago Blackhawks in Chicago.
Yeah, you guys were all worried. You thought that was going to lose the last 3 games.
I was worried, you're right.
Somehow they were going to just end up on the outside looking in.
I was worried.
They just wanted to add to their franchise record road winning streak. That's what they were up to. wanted to get win number 11. Then they could go party on Rush Street in Chicago last night.
Have some Giordano's.
Have a great time. Yeah. Exactly. Where nobody knows them versus if it happened in St. Paul, everybody'd recognize them. Go to another city. Have your Stanley Cup playoff party on the road and, you know, get things done.
Be away from the wife and the kids. And
that's kind of like what you did when you won the bracket, right, Jim? I mean, you just kind of partied out on the street with nobody because nobody wanted to come and hang out with you because you won the bracket.
You know, I was hoping my intro would be different, a little more fanfare, and now
it was yesterday, Jim.
The seer of all coming forward.
I was worried about
Here is the clairvoyant.
We did that to you yesterday, and one day's enough because your head's big enough.
I think you got
you had won, it would have been a Pro Bowl for years.
Of course it would have, but it's our show, Jim.
It would have been. It would just be going over and over. They'd have
you
to
would.
Change the hard drive to put it on again so it would continue to play.
You know what I'm worried about, though, Jim? I'm worried most about that tie you're wearing. It's a sickening tie. Putrid coral color.
But it's not the tie. It's the way the tie and the shirt and the blazer or whatever you want to call it.
Is that sport coat green?
It's gray.
No. You have to adjust the...
It's gray.
It's charcoal.
Yeah, it's gray with a blue shirt and a fuchsia or...
It's a fuchsia, coral, salmon...
Whatever it
tie.
Is.
Tie.
It's an old Randy Meyer tie. So you're ripping Randy, not me, so that's okay.
Old Randy Meyer tie. Would you trade ties with him?
What are you, Randy Meyer's goodwill?
Yeah,
are you his Salvation Army?
I get first crack before he brings in the 2015.
Oh,
this is
man.
The newest stuff I've had. This is 2014.
Wow.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll change it for six. I'll go get rid of the tie. I'll go grab another one.
Yeah, please
do. I'll change it for you.
No, I mean, that's as bad as anything I've seen. That's as bad as anything I've seen on charts.
I don't think Charge would even wear that. And then I have a hard time believing Randy Meyer would even put that on his body. But at the same time, we move back to the Minnesota Wild because that's the big story. Clinching the third straight playoff berth, three straight years. That's the obviously everybody knows about the Devin Dubnyk trade. Chris Stewart, though, that the second best trade of the year, in my opinion, from Chuck Fletcher. He, as well as Ryan Carter and Jason Zucker and Nino Niederreiter's done this before and Matt Dumba does it. They just provide that lift with the energy that they bring on the ice for the rest of the teammates. It's contagious.
Well, and the real thing that Zucker brought last night was speed to the club. He was flying out there, which was pretty remarkable considering the fact that he hadn't played a game since early in February. But he was just motoring around that rink, and that really helps the Wild separate themselves from their opponent. When they get that speed game going, when they're playing north-south hockey as opposed to east-west and kind of, you know, backpedaling their own end, you know, when they just get it and go, that puts so much pressure on your opponent. And that's what Zucker really can bring to the table. And he did that last night, getting that goal. And it's pretty remarkable that he took that crash into the end boards and was able to get up and stay in it. Because when I saw him hit the wall and he was grabbing his shoulder, I'm thinking, oh, boy, that was a short time off the training table. You're going right back to it. But he survived it and provided them a huge spark last night.
So now what do they do now? Okay, heading into the last two games, Nashville first, and then St. Louis. Is it now the right time to take Dubnyk out and rest him before you go into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they'll give him one of these games off, whether it'll be – they'll probably give him the Nashville game off because then he can play Saturday because you won't play again until Wednesday or Thursday, depending on the – date the NHL selects for game one. And if you had him play Thursday and then not till next Thursday, that'd be a whole week off. So I'm thinking Devin would say, give me the Nashville game off, let me play the last game of the year.
Wow, Jim Rich, Fox 9, we talk to him every day at 5:15. Jim, so who do you put in there? Do you put Nicholas Backstrom in there? Do you put Darcy? I mean, I think the obvious choice is Darcy Kemper, but do you play Backstrom one period or get them both both an opportunity to see some pucks, or how do you do this?
No, the Wild want to make sure that Backstrom doesn't get hurt because if he gets injured here at the end of the season, you can't buy out his contract. So I wouldn't be surprised if they put out Nerf pucks when he's out there for warm-ups, just so nothing happens. they want to get him to the end of the year so they can cut him a check and let him go. So, no, this will be Kemper, I would believe, against Nashville. He'll probably be the main backup in the playoffs, you know, and we'll just see. But obviously they want to keep Backstrom ready because, as we've seen in the past in the playoffs, the Wild burn through a lot of goaltenders with injuries. So you got to keep all three of them ready as they can be.
If the season ended today, Jim Rich, they would be playing the St. Louis Blues, right?
Yes.
Best of seven-game series, and it's almost like you don't want to play back at home. Why is the fact that they're just not very good at home, yet they won their 11 straight on the road? What's the deal there?
I think it's just a thing in their heads. I think when they came home, they won those back-to-back games against Calgary and L.A. that put them on the verge of wrapping up a playoff spot. And then they had 4 days off, so everybody's, you know, slapping them on the back, telling them how great they are. And, boy, you guys are awesome. And we were in there, the media telling them, man, this team's unbelievable. What a turnaround. And you had 4 days off, so you lose a little bit of that edge. And you see how dicey these games could be. Because last night they got the lead, they were able to change the tempo of the game. But it was, you know, right there for Chicago as well. I mean, you're deep into the third period before anybody scores. So it's just how these games can be. And I think playing at home, you got that big crowd, and they start getting restless when the power play blows. And so, you know, you have that on them. So they're like, oh, geez, we got a power play. And they all look at each other like, do you really want to go out there and do this? You know, I mean, it's in their head as far as playing at home. And when you're on the road, you know, you expect the opponents to boo you. It's fun to play on the road. And this group really has excelled at doing that. And, you know, they'll do well in the playoffs. I think, you know, it'll be a different vibe, and I think they'll be fine.
I'm worried, Mike, that I think that it might just be every time that the Dubinator stops a puck or makes a save or whatever he's doing when they go Dube, that the Wild, who are so into their heads, they have been all season, it seems like they're so mentally not tough that they're worried they're getting booed. Maybe that's the fact that they're losing at home. What do you think, Sue?
I think I was just going to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Either
that or it is the most terrible terrible towel, home of the home ice advantage. They're so embarrassed of their public relations team or marketing team.
That's like one of our best kept secrets.
For being the cheesiest slogan of any team of all time. Home of the home ice advantage. Way to be just super creative.
There's one place where that could come in really cheesy, and that'd be like to give all of those at the end of the season to the Packers, and they'd be really cheesy towels. Tell me then, Jim. Give me a little prediction. What do you think of this club? They're in the playoffs. How deep can we take this into the playoffs?
All the way.
I think the first round is going to be the toughest for them until you get to the Stanley Cup.
Who do you think we get?
Here's why. Because we're sitting in seventh, or we could be eight. So that means you're going to draw the top two teams in the Western Conference, yeah, either Anaheim or St. Louis. So those are going to be the two toughest teams to out in the playoffs. If the Wild say they draw Anaheim and win that series, then they would get the winner of Vancouver-Calgary. Well, bring them on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
On paper, that looks like an easy matchup for the Wild. And even if say you draw Nashville, well, then you get the winner of St. Louis-Chicago. And if it's Chicago, I think they would feel pretty good about that. So I think the opening round could be the most difficult if it's either the Blues or the Ducks. That could be the hardest matchup until you cross over back to the East, where it may be those New York Rangers again.
Talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9. Jim from Buffalo. Meet Jim from Buffalo. Hey, Jim, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Comment and a question. I wouldn't be surprised to see Dubnyk get these last two games. I mean, he had 4 days off last week. He'll probably get a break before the playoffs. So just a comment there. And then, Jim, I wanted to ask you if you had any insight or had any idea with, you know, Zucker's finally back, Cook's supposed to come back soon. Fourth line played pretty well since the All-Star break. I was just wondering who you think might be odd guy's alt might be.
That is going to be a huge question for Mike Yeo, because the chemistry, when he tinkered with it at home, didn't seem to click at all. But last night, that fourth line was great. So you look at how he's got to look at this. Obviously, Matt Cook is going to play in these last couple of games. Hollow will play. Carter will play. So it's really these next two games for these guys to impress you when he decides to go in game one. But I almost think that Cook, being the veteran, if he shows that he's effective in these last two games, will be somewhere in that lineup come game one of the playoffs. As far as Dubnyk, I think they give him Thursday off and then play him Saturday. I don't think he wants to sit around for two whole games because he'll be off for over a week if he doesn't play one of these last two, since the playoffs don't start at the earliest till next Wednesday.
Well, that's the way it goes right there. I think you're right, too. I think that he's the kind of guy that would want to stay on his skates and in his pads and not take an awful lot of time away from it. He's in his groove, no question about it. Jim Rich, thank you very much. Giving you a bad time about the tie. Certainly a great haircut, though. And
The tie is going. I just threw it in the parking lot. Tires are driving over it as we speak.
Just burn it.
Well, you know, don't tell anyone you did that there at the shop, because I'm going to drive by after work and pick it up, because that's something that's something I could use, actually. That'd be a hell of an upgrade for me and my AC/DC t-shirts. But thank you for joining, and we will talk to you then tomorrow, hopefully.
Sure. If you call, I'll answer. How's
perfect.
That?
Bang.
You're the best. We'll watch you for the rest of the evening, of course. Fox 9, Jim Rich, you're the best in the business.
And a new tie coming up at 6, so don't miss it.
We wouldn't miss it. We got the TV on right now. Don't let us down.
I wouldn't dare.
Okay, then. There you have
it. See you, buddy boy.
Next up, we have Hardball for all you seam heads. We have the cantankerous, the crusty, the salty Mike Berardino next.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
This guy is continuously failing drug tests. He has to be suspended because he's a loser. He's just an irresponsible mess.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
A lot of information in the head of his, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him leading the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You know, these guys have a chance to be a productive offense. We believe in these guys, but, you know, you come out the first couple of days and you get 18 zeros, I'm sure it's a little frustrating. And the longer something like that goes, it's like an individual or a team, you know, it's always magnified when you start. So just trying to remind them to relax and have fun, have good at-bats, and hopefully things will start to flow, but it's been rough the first couple games.
Yes, indeed. Paul Molitor, after losing the first two games, they haven't scored a run yet. Quality at bats is what he's looking for. I think it'd be safe to say that there hasn't been a lot of quality at the plate. And I don't know. I think that we're off to a slow start, but certainly that isn't the end of it. There's 160 left, for God's sakes.
Yeah, so stop overreacting, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, you.
No, you.
And now, the cantankerous Mike Berardino.
Hello, boys.
Hello.
Hi, Mike Berardino. How happy is the clubhouse? How happy are you? I mean, it's been a tough couple of days for the Minnesota Twins. So excited to watch the game at noon, sitting down to the TV while I'm doing my work, this and that. And
yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh. Unfortunately, it's whatever I call work, but I see your point there. But it's been tough.
Preparation.
Yeah. 18 innings, no runs. I want to say 9 hits total. Ricky Nolasco got pounded around, taken out in the beginning of the fourth inning without having any outs. So basically 3 innings pitched, 6 earned runs, 6 hits. Tim Stauffer came in through a wild pitch. Jordan Schaefer had an error. Torrey Hunter let a ball go, overran a ball that was bouncing in the outfield.
Oh, I know. I had to watch all of it.
yeah, I know.
Been there.
You know, I'll just say this, a couple things. They made a point of having the music playing in the clubhouse after the loss. They were not morose. Torrey talked about how there's no need to panic, that they do have 160 left. And don't forget that David Price and Aníbal Sanchez will shut down many lineups this year. They are very, very good. They are Cy Young quality guys. The unfortunate aspect is when you start your year with two games against those guys in their park, and hit like that and play like that all around and pitch like that, it is magnified, as Molitor said. That is all true. That said, game three is a must win. They have to win that. No, it's not what they're looking for. Probably more alarming, though, is that Nolasco, you know, did not pitch well, was not able to locate his fastball after the first two innings, and that's something he really worked on this spring. He felt better. He's healthy. Everything was there, and it got away from him.
Talking Hardball every day at 5:30 with Mike Berardino from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink vitamins. Have never tasted this refreshing. If I'm not, I think I'm correct in this, saying that the Twins lost their first two games of the year last year and went on to win the third game of the series against the Chicago White Sox. So there's plenty to be optimistic about, because look at the way the rest of the season went last year, right, Mike?
Yeah, that's how you do these things. That's how you slip right back to last year. Well, I'll come at you with the 1943 St. Louis Cardinals. Wartime Cardinals with Stan the Man running around in left field. They were blanked for their first 26 innings to start the year. Wow. That's a major league record. This is only at 18. And they went on to win 105 games and lose the World Series to the New York Yankees, while everyone else was overseas fighting for our nation. But, you know, the Twins, you don't want to be in the same sentence ever with the 1977 expansion Seattle Mariners, but that's the last American League team to be blanked in its first two games of a season. So, you know, it certainly it made an easy game story to write, because you just wrote about all the historical stuff. And you had some, you know, comments from Mulder and Velasco even, and Hunter saying not to worry about it. We'll see. But again, more so even than the record setting, record threatening offensive, shutdown here is that they need to pitch better at the start. Bill Hughes wasn't great yesterday or Monday. So the starting pitching, the rotation has a 10 ERA through, for two games. That will need to improve, I can assure you.
Is there one positive thing that you caught in today's game, Mike, that would be worth mentioning, or is it just not there yet, period?
Well, that J.R. Graham came in again, the Rule 5 kid who's just confident and mid-90s fastball. And Paul Mulder issued two intentional walks today to Victor Martinez, who apparently was in his Barry Bonds suit, and he, including one when they're down 6-0. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody intentionally walked when you're down 6-0, but that's what happened. And then J.R. Graham was summoned to face Victor Martinez the next time, and he got him to ground out on one pitch. So that's how good J.R. Graham is. He retired the unretirable Victor Martinez on one pitch.
Talking to Mike Berardino, Hardball, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink vitamins. Have never tasted this refreshing. It's interesting, though, obviously just having fun, Mike Berardino. I'm just excited to watch tomorrow's game.
Of course.
As well. I mean, I love the Twins. I'm not giving up on them yet, just two games in, but there already is the hashtag FireMolitor. Just wanted to let you know about that. But unfortunately, we've run out of time. Thank you so much. Hardball every day. We're talking Twins with Mike Berardino from the Pioneer Press. TwinCities.com, the best in the business. Sometimes a little cranky, usually pretty nice. Hardball on 105 The Ticket. Thank you, Mike.
Talk to you tomorrow.
See you, buddy.
See you then. Well, you know what? I mean, I think he was pretty good. Considering the circumstances.
It was great. Maybe the Twins need to lose all the time and he'll be jolly.
We can talk with Mike on a more human level than we normally do when you and Mike argue. Next up, though, we've got a special guest for you all to talk Wild hockey. His name is Tom Chorsky. Yeah, he's played some hockey in his day, and he will join us next. He knows hockey inside and out. Who better to hear it from, and what the Wild's chances are into the playoff scene, and what they're going to do for these last two games to try and prep everybody out for that. Tom Chorsky next.
Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
Well, the goaltender did, and now he's going to get a chance. Congestion and back and forth. They can still control their destiny as here comes Spunk. He takes it across. Score! Zucker! With 20 seconds remaining in regulation. Costly the goal before it's overtime. Here comes Side. Takes it wide. Rolls it right in front of Dusik. Picked up now by Hosa. Back to Keith with a shot at one save by Dusik.
NBC Sports Network, by the way. Thank you for the audio. Friends.
They got it done, man. Jason Zucker. Getting back out there on the ice. That was an important guy to get out of the training room and get back on the ice and get his skates all laced up. Tom Chorsky joins us now from University of Minnesota. I mean, he's been around these parts. He
Fox
definitely knows.
Sports North. I watch him in between periods and after the game.
New Jersey Devils won the cup there. And I've run into Tom Chorsky a couple, two or three times at the chiropractor. I think maybe Backstrom was there the same day I was there with Tom Chorsky. Regardless, he joins us now. And Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, it's great to join you this afternoon.
They've got this thing done. They're in, can you believe it, number one. And number two is, what do you do against two of the teams, Nashville and St. Louis, that you're going to end up having to face them somewhere down the line if you're going to do this whole thing? How do you play against them these last two games?
Well, you know, I think your first question, can you believe it? Boy, they really rose from the depths, didn't they? They were in mid-January, they were kind of left for dead, and there was national, you know, media hockey types that were calling for Mike Yeo to get fired. And it's a great thing that they didn't fire him. They pulled off a major trade in getting Devan Dubnyk, which kind of obviously solidified a very important position for the team and allowed them to quit looking over their shoulders back between the pipes. And once that got stabilized, they really kind of maximized their abilities and their confidence, and even made some more trades and got some depth. And when some other guys have been hurt, other players have stepped up. So it's been a really incredible effort and fun to watch and fun to, I guess, cover in my Fox Sports North duties. And as far as Nashville goes, well, I mean, great job also going on the road last night, back-to-back games. They came up a little short against Winnipeg, who was playing well. Winnipeg also went out last night and got another shutout, so it wasn't really a fluke against Minnesota. They're playing well. And Minnesota had to go into Chicago, first of all, and they got it done, and that's where they clinched the playoffs, which is great.
Yeah.
Now they go into Nashville, and that's a team that they've split with this year. There's been four games. They've split with them. The good news is that they've beaten, the two games that they've beaten them have been in Nashville. I think most recently in overtime, Matthew Dumba scored an overtime goal, which was part of his rise to his I guess early career success, which has been another turnaround story.
Talking to Tom Chorsky, the Wild clinching their third straight playoff berth last night with the win over Chicago at the United Center in Chicago in the Windy City. It was a heck of a game. Nothing's better than playoff hockey. Love it so much. Can't wait to watch every possible second of it when it starts next week. Obviously, taking Zach Parise, Ryan Suter, Mike Yeo, and Devan Dubnyk out of the scenario as a possible answer for this question, who are the Wild going to have to lean on? Who's going to have to play basically out of their minds, their best hockey, for the Wild to continue on this successful streak that they've been on to get out of the first round, out of the second round, on their way to the Stanley Cup playoffs, or the championship game?
That's a great question, and fortunately, I happened to give myself that same question a little bit ago. I guess my answer is this. Mikael Granlund had a great playoff last year, and he scored last night, and I think he's going to have to match last year's playoff performance. And Charlie Coyle is a guy that can probably step up a notch. Nino Niederreiter had a great playoff run, and we're going to want to see him match that. A guy like Thomas Vanek will be all eyes on him to see if he can contribute for the Wild in the playoffs. And the back end, you know, you got Matthew Dumba, who will be seeing his first playoff action. How will he respond to the amped up and ramped up level of play and level of pressure? Certainly guys like Spurgeon will be a seasoned guy who can perform, and I really like Scandella. He hasn't been great lately, but he certainly has the ability to rise up. It'll be, you know, Stewart is another player that they got in a trade deadline, and he seems to be fitting in nicely alongside Mikko Koivu. I think Koivu will continue his, you know, playoff presence. If it's not strong offensively, he certainly will be relied upon defensively, winning faceoffs and being kind of a bull along the boards and in the corner. So that gives you a little sense of some of the guys and some of the things that have to happen.
You know, Tom, just the story with the goaltender alone. I mean, having heard all the players and what you would expect of all the other players, and to be able to advance through the playoffs, they're all going to have, and you've been there. I mean, you've been the distance to get the Stanley Cup, and you know that everyone has to have pretty much their best season at the same time. But, Dubnyk is an incredible story, is he not? Have you ever in your time heard of or seen or played with someone that made so much difference in a squad midway through the season? Have you ever seen a team turn everything around and turn it on like a light switch and come storming into the playoffs?
Yeah, I can't say that any of the teams I was on, you know, we won the Stanley Cup, and that was with Martin Brodeur, but he was there the year before, and he came in. He was a very young player, but, he didn't come in midstream and really turn things around. It was great to have a future Hall of Famer as a goaltender. It really helps your confidence, helps you play. And I think there's been other times where goalies have come in and maybe started their careers and had, in Ottawa right now, this guy Hammond, he's had an incredible run early in his career, but their team was not so low as the Wild was, and it's not just him that's really turned it around. So in answer to your question, I have not seen a goalie arrive from sort of out of nowhere. There was a time when Devan Dubnyk was considered a very high prospect, but then little by little he lost probably a little bit of his confidence. He was playing for weaker subpar teams, and he was, kind of left out to dry, and little by little he was the culprit, or he was kind of the scapegoat, and he ended up even in the minors as early as last season. So for a guy to kind of come from there, arrive on the scene, and really take his team and turn it around and have them, in the playoffs, I don't think there has been a goalie that's done that, certainly in the recent times.
Talking Wild Hockey with Tom Chorsky. Tom, we have just about a minute left to go here. Talk to me about Ryan Suter, and with all the great player of the Dumbas, and obviously the Dubniks, and Zucker last night, and the resurgence of Vanek, and what we've seen from Parisi and Chris Stewart, and the trade that brought him over here. Ryan Suter's kind of gone into the background just a little bit, but yet he's still playing top-notch hockey.
Yeah, I think he doesn't add a lot of offense, and part of it is that for him to play all the minutes he plays, and he certainly, if given a choice, he's going to pride himself on being very good defensively and being able to shut down the other team's top players. And in fact, when he plays 30 minutes a game, 30 plus minutes, and when we get into the playoffs, he'll certainly be asked to play against some very, very good players all night long. And so he kind of has to play a conservative game. He kind of has to reserve some of that energy for all those minutes throughout the game. He doesn't just go for broke offensively. So, that's one reason why he's not as front and center, because he's not jumping in the rush and joining the play the way some of the other defensemen do, the way Spurgeon does, and maybe Dumba will jump in at times, and certainly Scandella jumps in. So he usually stays back. But when he does jump in, he usually can make something happen. But he's going to be a steady guy. He really brings, I think, a calming sense of control when he's on the ice, and the way he handles the puck and the way he handles the area he plays in. And he also is obviously showing some leadership, and he's going to provide that calming and leadership for guys like Matthew Dumba to follow suit in some respect.
Tom Chorsky, how far do you think this team can get? I just want a real quick reaction from you on that. In the playoffs, how deep can these guys go? And hopefully it's longer than a pass that you threw when you were a quarterback at Minneapolis South.
Yeah, I threw some lame ducks. I had good receivers that, brought in some of those lame balls. But those are stories for other times. I think once the playoff starts, this team now has depth. They've got everyone is kind of playing really good hockey right now, and certainly has shown levels of play that is playoff worthy. So if when they drop the puck, I don't know if they're going to play on the 15th or the 16th next week, you got to feel good about the goaltending and the depth of our defensemen, the mobility, the athleticism, the dynamic group they are on D. And the forwards, we're going to have 12 skaters up front, and we've got another three probably up in the press box that can step in and play if someone goes down or if they need a different role played. Penalty killing is good. You know, just have to keep that power play going, which has been good at home. All their bases are covered, I think, as well as they've ever been in the history of this franchise.
Tom Chorsky, that's a great take, and that's why we had you on. So glad you could join us and take some time to hang with us this afternoon, and hopefully we can get you again as they continue on through the playoffs, and we can get your take on it.
Hey, my pleasure to join you guys. Not many guys get to come on the radio, you know, in the afternoon and talk hockey.
Well, and with me.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that, Tom. Yeah, that's the one thing I wanted to apologize for, but sorry I have to do it every day. So welcome to the club.
Thanks for coming on here. You're the best in the business, and we are going to get you back on here, Tom.
Skull Wild, thank you.
Anytime, thanks. See ya.
He's pretty good at what he does.
Love him.
Played for everybody. Well, we're taking a little break, a quick break, and then we'll come back with Cold Omaha. We got Chris Shad, who will join us, one of the writers here at 105 The Ticket, next.
Your all-day sports talk leader, 105 The Ticket.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
With the seventh selection in the 2005 NFL draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Troy Williamson, wide receiver, South Carolina.
Back in those days, I was invited to come up into the head coach's office.
Before or after
that? As a member of radio, I was invited to come up by Coach Mike Tice, and he said what they were going to do. If they still had an opportunity to pick Troy Williamson up, they were going to.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that.
Before the draft?
And he said, yep.
How many days before the draft?
That day.
Okay.
That day, earlier in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the field house filled up at Winter Park. I don't know how many thousand people. You heard the reaction right there, though. That was live. Live feed from that. And he told us, we think we kind of know what they're going to do.
Who's they?
The fans.
Okay.
When we pick him, it's not going to go over very well.
Yeah.
Do the best you can to spin it on the air so that we can just kind of live with this. Because we're going to pick him.
What was your response? Hey, Jicky Jack.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry, but I'm not a mouthpiece for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, I don't care what you want. I mean, I played with him for a long time, too, Tice. He's a piece of work. He was from South Carolina, played for Lou Holtz, a running offense for the most part. I mean, rarely had to go out and catch a football. Rarely.
Well, it's funny because I reached out to Lou Holtz earlier today to see what he said about what he had to say about coaching Troy Williamson.
What did he say?
And he said,
"That's what Holtz means in German, hardwood."
I thought that was a little inappropriate.
He helped you with his last name.
I said, that's not the question. And then he responded saying this, and that's when I gave up.
Well, I don't get a brain to head cold.
Yeah, I said, this is useless.
That's why his offense never really flourished in the passing game. He never really could get his message across, clearly. And so you have what you have. We have also Chris Shad. Is Chris with us yet?
Chris
from
is
Cold
with us.
Omaha? Because
yes.
It is those kinds of things that we hear and we see from time to time out of Winter Park that you would consider maybe a reach or a stretch or a chance to take something that you think is going to be a steal and maybe not so much. Your thoughts and on your article, Chris?
Yeah, it's 10 years removed from that fateful day almost, and I remember being, I believe, a senior in high school thinking, boy, they better select Mike Williams here, and then they wound up taking Williamson. I remember watching the highlight video, and every pass was only about 3 yards. It just was a major reach. It was a stretch because they wanted to replace that game-breaking speed that Randy Moss had, and Williamson had it. He had great elite speed, but he also had hands of brick. And as we all know now, Williamson phased out of the league in about 2 or 3 years, and They could have got the 2005 draft wasn't loaded with premier NFL talent, but I mean they could have went ahead and drafted Sean Merriman, who would have been a great edge rusher for the Vikings. Maybe put him down on the defensive line and maybe even help the Vikings save that first round pick they sent for Jared Allen. But I mean, as far as the 2005 draft goes, that was kind of a killer, especially since they had to reach with their next pick and take Erasmus James later in the first round.
Yeah, both just jokes.
The big speed rusher from Wisconsin.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's huge.
Oh, yeah.
He had a great career in the NFL. Talking to Chris Shad from Cold Omaha, 105theticket.com writing team. Instead of taking one or both of those guys, there are other guys that the Vikings should have taken. Cornerback Antoine Roll had a pretty good career. Carlos Rogers had a decent career. DeMarcus Ware, I don't know, whatever happened to that guy?
Okay.
Sean Merriman, you already mentioned him. There was, let's see here, a guy by the name of Aaron Rodgers who went 24th overall. That would have been nice to have. I mean, so many different guys.
I think they passed on him twice, by the way.
Yeah, no, they absolutely did. It was a heck of a draft back in 2005. Funny to look back 10 years later. In the first round, Troy Williamson, Erasmus James. Second round, Marcus Johnson. Remember him? Do you remember what position he played, Soup?
I want to say guard.
Yep.
Right guard.
Second round. Third round, Dustin Fox. Remember who he was?
Oh.